It's so smoky. My lungs hurt. My allergies are bad. How many of these statements have you made in the last few weeks, maybe just this morning? So what is it about the bushfire smokes that makes your body feel like rubbish? Is it the bigger particles, whatever is in the smoke itself, or is it just how it makes your body react? Let's talk about inflammation as we head into the Hunter Medical Research Institute today and learn about the work that Associate Professor Jay Horvat is doing. Good morning.
Good morning, Kaya.
Today's a good day to be talking about inflammation. Already I can feel my lungs change as the wind changes as well.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. So obviously the particulates that are generated during bushfire season that we're breathing in at the moment have all sorts of negative effects on the cells within our lungs. And this can happen in particularly in people that have underlying respiratory conditions such as asthma and chronic obstructive pulmonary disease or emphysema, but also young kids that that previously might not have shown any signs of having some of these underlying respiratory conditions. So I myself have asthma and I'm the only one in the family at the moment that doesn't really have any major concerns with their respiratory tract. And that's because
you're feeling a bit smug?
A bit smug. that's basically because I've been keeping up to date with my my asthma medications.
Yep.
And currently the kids in the family are now on a lot of the medications that that I'm usually on, despite them not having been diagnosed with asthma previously.
Isn't that interesting? So it's not people complaining. There is actually something going on with all this smoke around, smoke and dust.
Oh, absolutely. And it's well known. So the World Health Organization basically states that there is no real safe level of exposure to particulates in the air. And really what all we can do is try and manage those levels and try and manage our exposure to certain levels. And this obviously just not just goes for bushfire smoke, but also occupational environmental dust exposures as well. So
inflammation is an interesting one. I think that when we can see it on the outside, we're like, cool, right, that's inflamed, need to do something about it. Are we as good about understanding it and listening to our bodies when they're inflamed on the inside?
Well, I think it. I think we are getting better at doing that, and obviously there's quite a huge cluster of really brilliant scientists up at the Hunter Medical Research Institute that focus their research on understanding inflammation in different organ systems and how this might actually affect a range of different diseases. So so a lot of diseases are actually underpinned by dysregulated inflammatory responses.
What is our body doing when it makes something inflamed?
So inflammation is actually a natural process that our body basically induces in order to try and limit damage that might be caused by an injurious agent or through infections. So you think about when you scratch yourself on the arm, it gets swollen, it flares up. That is basically because your body has sensed that there's some damage in the cells on the skin. And what it's doing is it's increasing blood flow to that area, allowing immune cells to come in. And those immune cells, what they're designed to do is try and fight any infections that might have been introduced to your skin at that particular point in time. And if there is any damage, they also activate a number of cells within your skin that basically can come in and they can lay down collagen and other tissues to help mend any damage that might be there. And obviously, this is very important at protecting us, but it's when these processes go wrong in certain organs that we actually end up with disease.
Yeah. So how do we treat inflammation, or does it depend on which part of your body is inflamed?
Well, currently, the drugs that target inflammation target either the cytokines, so the actual factors that drive the inflammation itself, or they shut down immune responses in a global manner. So, but obviously, some of these processes are really important in helping protect us from infections.
Yeah.
There are better ways in which we can tackle inflammation. I think by understanding the basic biological processes that have gone wrong in inflammation, rather than actually targeting specific factors themselves.
So, are you looking in your research at specific areas of the body and inflammation and what we see there?
So my major research focuses on inflammatory conditions of the lungs more specifically, but a lot of the work that we're doing in that area apply to other inflammatory conditions around the body as well, because a lot of the processes that we've identified we know apply to other organ systems.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about iron. What's the link between iron and inflammation?
So iron is obviously really essential for maintaining health. So iron's important. important in a number of biological processes. So you'd know about oxygen transport in red blood cells, but it also plays an important role in helping enzymes in our body to function normally. And it's really important that our body controls iron levels at the systemic level, so throughout the entire body, as well as in organs, and also, more importantly, in actual cells themselves. Now, one of the other important things about iron is that infections love iron as well. So when we have an infection, we actually have a battle occurring between our own bodies and that of the infection to try and get as much iron as possible. And our body's immune systems have actually developed a way in which they can hide the iron from the infections. Yeah. But one of the consequences of this is that we get an accumulation of iron within cells and within tissues. And what we're finding now is that there is an increased accumulation of iron within cells and tissues within respiratory diseases such as asthma, as well as idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. Mm. Now, we've also shown that the more iron that you have being sequestered into cells and into tissues within these diseases relates to the severity of the disease. And what we're trying to understand now is whether or not we can do something about this and essentially trying to get a greater understanding of what's gone wrong so that we can try and fix it.
Yeah, and does that mean as well that, you know, a simple test of iron in someone's body will give you an understanding of what you need to do to help someone who's got these lung infections?
Unfortunately, it's not that simple.
Cool. So. It never is. That's what I learn every week on a Tuesday. It's never that simple.
So it's been well known for quite a long period of time that there is this condition known as anemia of inflammation. So, again, when you have inflammation, the same processes that drive inflammation are the same processes that are trying to hide the iron from infections. And people with chronic inflammatory conditions often have low iron systemically. Mm. But we are showing that in some of these respiratory diseases that whilst they might have low iron systemically, they have increased iron within the tissues where the actual problem occurs. So in the lungs, say, for instance.
It's 19 minutes away from 10. You're with Kaya Hanley on ABC Newcastle Mornings. My guest this morning, Jay Horvett, an associate professor in immunology and microbiology at the University of Newcastle and Hunter Medical Research Institute. We're talking about his work looking at inflammation today. You've heard about iron. Let's talk hormones. This is a bit surprising. Sex hormones, mostly female ones, am I right in saying, or testosterone as well, play a part in inflammation, or maybe could?
So it's not just the female sex hormones. It's also testosterone. So studies are now showing that the level of both female and male sex hormones within the body does seem to have links with disease in terms of asthma, but also other inflammatory conditions as well. And what we've actually, some work that we've done up at the Hunter Medical Research Institute in collaboration with Professor Lisa Wood and Dr. Haley Scott has shown that women on the oral contraceptive pill appear to be much better off in terms of their asthma. And we're currently conducting a bunch of work at the moment looking at how female sex hormones as well as testosterone might actually influence inflammatory responses, not only in the lung but also systemically. And what we're showing at the moment is that the level of the different female sex hormones has a massive influence on whether or not immune cells are producing pro-inflammatory factors or go into an anti-inflammatory state. And this has a really important effect on the disease processes that underpin asthma. Interestingly, we're also showing that there seems to be differences in the way in which the female sex hormones behave in lean women versus obese women. And this is really important given that there is a specific cluster of severe asthmatics that are obese and female. And they have a completely different phenotype of severe asthma than other severe asthmatics. So what we're currently looking at the moment is whether or not there is this interaction that might be occurring between metabolic factors associated with obesity as well as in lean women, and their levels of female sex hormones. And obviously, by gaining a greater understanding of how these influence immune responses systemically as well as in the lung, may help us come up with better ways of alleviating the inflammatory processes that underpin asthma. And at the moment, we are showing that progesterone-containing contraceptives as well as the oral contraceptive pill have massive effects, almost as good an effect as what corticosteroids have on inflammatory processes in the lungs. And
that seems unexpected to me.
Yeah, it's unexpected, but the science is what the science
is. I know, but like, you know, to think that maybe for asthma you could just be like, that's a conversation. It's like, right, well, are you on, as a woman, are you on a contraceptive and you've got bad asthma? Maybe change to the bill and see if that works.
Yeah, well, obviously for those recommendations to come through, we'd need to do
go
the science behind
GP.
It to make sure. Yeah absolutely. But what we are actually showing is that there seems to be some interaction as well between contraceptives as well as the anti-inflammatories that patients might be on. So it certainly is an area that needs a lot more research.
Yeah, by understanding more about this reaction, but also the iron reaction as well, what do you hope that we can achieve for people who suffer with, you know, lung inflammation or, you know, inflammation in their bodies?
So getting back to the iron stuff, so what we're actually working with a number of techniques at the moment that we can try and alter the way in which cells are sequestering iron, because we're showing that the inflammatory cells, in sequestering the iron to keep that iron away from bugs or during inflammatory responses, this actually changes the behavior of those cells. So it's actually making those cells less able to fight infections, but also might be producing a pro-inflammatory response in these cells. And what we've shown so far is that by modifying the way in which these cells can take up iron, we're actually able to prevent the progression of fibrotic lung disease. So what we're looking at now is trying to develop techniques around modification of iron that might be able to be applied clinically to help alleviate these respiratory diseases.
On a day where many of us are thinking about our lung health, our sinuses and our eyes, I appreciate you coming in and telling us a little bit more about the work that you're doing. Thank you.
Not a problem. Thank you for having me.
That's Associate Professor Jay Horvath there. He works in immunology and microbiology at the University of Newcastle and is part of the respiratory research team at the Hunter Medical Research Institute.